This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A question that oftentimes people think about in life, in different situations it arises in different forms, is a question of how strong you think you are. What does it mean to be strong? And the concept of strength and even the definition of strength has its applications in different ways. The strength of an object or a person to handle a certain amount of pressure, the mental or psychological strength that you may have to be resilient in different situations, you are able to handle certain things, the strength that you may have in your iman, the strength in your body, the strength in your health, the strength of a relationship, your financial state, and so on and so forth. And this brings us to the hadith, a very famous hadith. And it is the theme of our khutbah today, the hadith of the strong believer. What does it mean to be strong, and how do we attain strength in different forms? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mu'min al-qawi, the strong believer, khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kulli khayr." The strong believer is better and more preferred, more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, but there's good in both. There's good in both. We'll break down this hadith. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Have eagerness, strive for the things that bring you benefit. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. And put your trust in Allah and do not give up. Do not become weak. Do not falter in your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not become lazy. وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ. When something, if something happens to you, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Do not say, after deciding on something, and something happens to you of difficulty, do not say, if only I had made a different decision, then such and such would have happened. وَلَكِنْ قُلْ. However, you should say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed what He wills. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concluded with, فَإِنَّ لَوْ. As for this word, if only, لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Opens the door of shaitan. This hadith is one of the most famous narrations. It is also included in the compilations of many scholars, including Imam An-Nawawi rahmahullah. The stronger believer is better and more beloved to Allah. And we should always strive for that which is better and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while recognizing wa fi kulli khayr, there's good in all believers. Should never look down on other people, for sure. Should never think you are better than other believers. There is good in all believers by virtue of their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa fi kulli khayr. And this is a reminder for us to also be supportive to other believers, to help them to become stronger rather than ever having any pride. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The belief of strength here, or the strength of belief, is usually what is emphasized. For you to be strong, here is not just about being able to bench 300 pounds. No, here it's about your strength in terms of your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think of strength with humility. That everything we have, all types of strength, including any kind of iman, is something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we say with humility, why? Because a very healthy person with just a mosquito bite can cause them to die. A very healthy person overnight, their entirety of what they consider to be strong financially or physically or mentally can change. May Allah grant us afiyah and protection. Allahumma ameen. But to better understand this hadith, we look at the commentaries of the scholars historically. And we find, although the main type of strength that's emphasized here is the strength of iman, there is, of course, an application of different types of strength that will help the believer with regards to the pursuit of Allah's pleasure. And so the first example here, the first type of five we'll mention, inshallah ta'ala, if we have time, is the strength of iman. And I'll give you an example that's very common. You have two people, a young college student, he goes to the gym, medically he's very healthy, no problems, alhamdulillah. He lifts weights, he runs, he exercises. And the example of perhaps maybe his grandfather, he's 80 years old, he's okay medically, but he's struggling here and there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our loved ones shifa, Allahumma ameen. When it comes time for Salatul Fajr, you find that his grandfather very easily wakes up. No struggle whatsoever. In fact, he wakes up before Fajr, prays the night prayer, makes dua. He's consistent as well the entire year. Whereas the grandson, the 20-year-old college student, who medically or physically may have a little more strength, is unable, in terms of his iman, is unable to get up. It's not a physical impediment here. There is no medical issue for him to wake up for Fajr. This is where we recognize the strength of Iman pushes through at times, even with your body, with your mind, with other things that you are doing in your life. The Prophet ﷺ, yes, he slept, ﷺ, and he prayed, but it was mentioned in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Muslim. When the call to prayer was made, the first call to prayer was made, the Prophet ﷺ, فَإِذَا كَانَ عِنْدَ النِّدَاءِ الْأَوَّلِ قَالَتْ وَثَبَ قَالَ قَوْلُهَا وَثَبَ أَيْ قَامَ بِسُرْعَةٍ. He would wake up very fast, with energy, with the first adhan that he would hear for the Fajr prayer. So the Prophet ﷺ, this is an example for us, is moving with energy when it comes to ibadah. Do we move fast or slow when it comes to our acts of worship? Do we take our time and overthink it? Do we complicate things and justify things and come up with excuses? And so the iman here that is mentioned in this hadith, al-mu'min al-qawi, by virtue of the very first word here, al-mu'min al-qawi, you're talking about a strong believer. You're not just talking about a strong human being. So it is the strength of iman. The very tools that you need to strengthen your iman are also mentioned in this hadith. That, for example, ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. You go for, you strive for, you chase after, your goals are set in life, your habits, your time, you're chasing after things that will benefit you. Your purpose, why you're here, where you're headed. The second, wasta'in billah, put your trust in Allah. Rely on Allah. And this is a sign of iman. And the stronger your iman, the stronger your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the decreased fear you have of worldly things and worldly people. The reality is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tools that we need to become strong believers. It's a matter of the choices that we make. Wasta'in billah wa la ta'jaz. There's part of tawakkul, part of the strength here, like the person who is going for a marathon, is that you don't give up. You're not just sprinting with your iman. It's a consistent lifestyle. وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. Do not give up. Do not become weak. No matter how many difficult things you see or hear, do not become weak. وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. No matter what challenges come your way, if you are sincere in that act of worship, persist with it. And if something happens, then say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. You accept the decree of Allah. Now, the thing that happens to you out of your control, you're not held accountable for what happened to you. You're held accountable for how you respond. What will you do? How will you channel your thoughts? What will happen in terms of your iman? What does your iman do for you in difficult times? To move forward so that you are not stuck in the last chapter of life. Rather, you are reading the next chapter. You are developing the next actions. You are building your home in the afterlife. You're helping other people. And overthinking the past too much is also very problematic. From a psychological standpoint, as many experts have stated numerous times, if you're always reflecting on the past difficulties, you're always thinking about those difficulties to the extent that they are paralyzing you in the present, then you have to recognize that there is something that's preventing you from moving forward, and it's no longer the past. It's your ability to find closure, to seek help, whether it's therapy with a Muslim psychologist or if it was trauma, or it's you recognizing the ability for you to move forward is very real, it's very possible in this present moment. When you say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ, you're accepting that you can't change the past. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, He is the all-wise and He is the all-knowing. Things happen for many different reasons. We cannot see those reasons now, but we know there is a reward. We know that there is purification. We know that there is a paradise. We know there is a day of judgment. So we keep moving forward. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Allah reminds us that there are certain things that occur in this universe. Whether or not you love them or hate them is not the point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits the things that happen in this universe to happen, but it's based on His wisdom and His knowledge, which we don't have access to. So we either find ourselves trying to interpret behind the scenes without knowledge and finding ourselves depressed or frustrated, or we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there are reasons, wisdoms for this that we cannot possibly know. Allah is Al-Jabbar. Allah is Al-Qawi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Azim. He is Ar-Rahman. He is Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the All-Wise, Al-Hakim. Allah is Al-Wadud, the Most Loving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Off-Forgiving. He is Al-Kareem, the Most Generous, Al-Razzaq, the One who provides. The more you think about who Allah is, the more your heart is softened, the stronger your iman becomes. Part of the strength of iman as a believer, especially today, is to know that Allah is with you wherever you are. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And At-Tabarani reports, the Prophet ﷺ said a very beautiful narration, إِنَّ أَفْضَلَ الْإِيمَانِ, one of the best aspects of iman and manifestations of it, أَنْ تَعْلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَكَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ, is for you to know that Allah is with you wherever you go. Wherever you are, You're on campus, you're around Muslims, you're around non-Muslims, you're being oppressed, you're not, wherever you are. For you to know that Allah is with you is a good sign of iman. And when we think about the reality of the world we are in, it's not just about you being a believer, it's you knowing that sometimes there are challenges, there's opposition, there's discomfort. And when these things arise, then you have to be able to move forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. In a very powerful and short ayah in Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not become weak of heart, do not become feeble, do not become weakened to the extent that you've given up, and do not grieve, for you will be the victors if you are truly people of iman. Iman conquers all that is around it, and it is not to be conquered. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whether or not the victory is today, or it is tomorrow, or in a year, or in the afterlife, the one who has iman is always victorious, and recognizes this. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا does not mean you will not experience sadness, but rather you should not dwell in sadness. You should not magnify your sadness. Know that you are being given victory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that there are many things that will strengthen your iman. And of course, that's a longer discussion, a longer topic, but amongst them is to be around good people, good environments, to be in the masjid more often. Of course, many people have stated this in recent weeks, and we say this all the time. If we can have 5,000 people turn out for protest from our community, just the Muslim community, then surely we can have those numbers for Salatul Jum'ah. Surely we can increase in the number of prayers during the week. This is a sign of increased iman as well, and it will benefit our iman as well. The third is beneficial knowledge, to continuously learn. Again, the Qur'an, the seed of the Prophet ﷺ, the tafsir, the ahadith with commentary. The fourth is to continue moving forward. Action, action, action. وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. Do not give up. Do not become incapacitated. Another advice is to reflect on who Allah is, the afterlife, the reality. You're going to meet Him soon. These are things that strengthen one's iman. And final number six is to accept the decisions that you've made. Do not live in the past. You cannot change it. You look at the past from the Islamic perspective to take lessons, to learn how to become better, smarter, wiser, so that we don't repeat our mistakes. But we don't dwell in the past and think about them and refuse to move forward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. This is the first type of strength, the strength of iman. It's the main one that is emphasized in this hadith. Al-mu'minu al-qawi khayrun wa habbu ila Allah min al-mu'minu al-da'if wa fi kullin khayr. Another type of strength we can emphasize, especially today with what is happening around the world, is the emotional and mental strength that we should aim for, aspire to have. To take care of our emotional, mental well-being is an act of worship, the same way you take care of your body. To take care of your mental state and to recognize no matter how much secular psychology will emphasize otherwise, we know, as many Muslim psychologists have stated in numerous studies, there is always going to be some link between some aspect of your mental state and your worldview, your beliefs, your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your belief that there are good things happening, your belief that there's a silver lining in every situation. It's not to say that you cannot struggle mentally as a believer. You can. It is very possible. May Allah protect us all. But that there is also a link between the two. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ The believers put their trust in Allah. As many psychologists have stated, those who believe in God and put their trust in God, they live with that lifestyle, tend to feel more resilient in times of difficulty, tend to be able to cope a little better. Does it mean they don't face difficulty or sadness? No, that's not what we're saying. But they tend to cope with more resilience. And so many psychologists have stated that there are certain things Muslims should do from the mental perspective, emotional perspective, that will help them in times of difficulty. And so amongst them, number one, is to redirect negative thoughts. If you're always thinking negatively, it's always a pessimistic conclusion, is to stop yourself when you recognize in the moment, to stop yourself with that negative thought and to redirect it to something better. To think of a positive label, a positive ending, such as thinking about our brothers and sisters as shuhada. This is an example. The second is to surround yourself with not influences that are positive, but interpretations that are positive. Things that will remind you of how to look at the world, the lens of tafa'ul, at-tafa'ul min al-iman, as the Prophet ﷺ said. The third is to see challenges and discomforts as opportunities for you to apply your strength, opportunities for you to become a stronger person tomorrow and to help other people as well. The fourth, when you go through a trial yourself, is to recognize you are not alone. You're not going through tests alone in this world. There are many people going through tests and trials. In fact, all human beings go through tests and trials of different types. But even the test that you are going through, you're not alone in it. And obviously, this is why in Islam, from the giving perspective, It is better for you to help your brother or your sister with a hardship that they are going through than to have i'tikaf in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, the support does make a difference. The family members, it makes a difference when you support, when you ask your children, what are you going through? How are you feeling? What are you thinking? Your wife, your husband, your parents, and so on and so forth, and other people as well, especially during times like this. And finally, number five, to remember, you will never be given a test you cannot handle. You will never be given a test you cannot carry in terms of its weight. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will never burden a soul beyond what it can handle. There are many applications for this and many connotations, but amongst them is that you do have the ability mentally to get through this, but there are some choices you're going to have to make. There are some supports you're going to have to take. And if you're dwelling in negative interpretations, negative thoughts, or leaving out the optimistic lens, it's going to be more difficult. May Allah protect us and our loved ones around the world. Here's an example to relate it to what is happening today. Cannot count the number of times in the last few weeks that people have stated they can no longer watch the news, follow the news. They're overwhelmed, or they break down in tears every time they see a video of a child being massacred, or a parent that is crying for their children, or buildings that are collapsing. Of course, we're going to feel sadness and pain and grief. And this is a good sign that there's some human conscience left within us. A sign that we do feel we are part of the ummah, that our brothers and sisters are being oppressed, that there is a violation of rights, that there is an ethnic cleansing, that there is an occupation, all of this and more. So yes, mentally, there is some anguish and frustration when people see politicians, not just the president of this country, but politicians advocating for and giving a kind of an open check, a blank check, for the Israeli government to continue doing what it's doing. This leads to increased anguish, frustration. How can you see something like this and not mention the Palestinians? How can you see something like this and allow the killing to continue? So naturally, there's going to be strong emotion. This is what we see as a negative experience in the sense of the injustice. Having said that, our resilience kicks in. Here's where the iman kicks in. Where it doesn't erase, it doesn't ignore that there is pain that is happening. But at the same time, you are thinking about the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran when He referenced pain, when He referenced وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, that we will test you بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. Some people will be tested in this world with fear. As the electricity is cut off in Gaza as of the last 2 hours, and as the majority of the bombs have dropped at night, and as 50% of the population is children, and they are terrorized. Yes, this is a form of state-sanctioned terrorism. They are terrorized, not knowing if they'll live for the next morning. There is fear. That fear is very real. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ, and hunger, starvation. وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, and a lack of access to wealth, to material wealth, anything that will help you. وَالْأَنْفُسِ, and the loss of life. وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, and produce or agriculture. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, that the verse doesn't end with the test, the verse ends with the glad tiding. Who are they? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Their reaction, this is where the mental is tied to the theological. This is where the emotional is linked with your worldview, your beliefs as a believer. That you say, we belong to Allah. We don't belong to this world. This was the test that came to us. We cannot change it. But we can strive against what is happening right now. So there's an intertwining of the silver lining with seeking justice. There's an intertwining of looking at where the believers end up. If they die upon iman and they are killed, we know that they are shuhada, as the Prophet ﷺ has stated. Generally speaking, we say, may Allah accept them as shuhada. When we think of where they are, this helps as well with some comfort. It doesn't erase what is happening today. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in many ahadith, but he gave us one example in this narration from Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu an, إِنَّ أَرْوَاحَ الشُّهَدَاءِ فِي طَيْرٍ خُضْرٍ تَعْلُقُ مِنْ ثَمَرِ الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ شَجَرِ الْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily the souls of the martyrs, the shuhada, are in green birds hanging from the fruits or the branches of the trees of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our brothers and sisters in Gaza as shuhada. You think of the children, and you have over a dozen authentic narrations that children are in paradise, that children are not accountable on the Day of Judgment. You think of the ahadith of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the children that are around him, and how many children in recent weeks have departed from this world and are waiting for the Day of Judgment to hold on to the hands of their parents. And when Allah tells these children, enter Jannah, they refuse. They say, oh Allah, my father, my mother, enter Jannah. My father, my mother, enter Jannah. My father, my mother, oh Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, because their parents held on to their faith, enter Jannah, you and your parents. These are promises from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think about what the sister in Gaza wrote before she was martyred, that it's as though you can imagine, yes, there's a Gaza on earth, you can imagine that there's a gathering of souls that left this world holding on to their faith, as though there is another gathering of Ghazans in a better place. So this doesn't erase the pain, it doesn't erase the injustice, but it gives us one thing to cope with, one thing to look forward to, that you're not worried about those who died upon Iman, they are in a better place. You're worried about those who survived and those who are being oppressed and those whose lives were taken as well, with humanitarian laws violated left and right and war crimes that are being committed. So there is a combination of the pain and the grief with something of optimism, something of a silver lining. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who spread these forms of optimism, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the affairs of our brothers and sisters in Gaza and around the world. Allahumma ameen. The third type of strength, and perhaps this will be the third and the final that we will cover for today, inshallah ta'ala, is the intellectual strength. The intellectual strength is not just about the psychological resilience we are talking about, but in one sense, we're talking here about knowledge. We're talking about knowing. We're talking about wisdom. And some of these things will come through learning and learning and learning consistently, and knowledge is light in Islam. Beneficial knowledge is a type of nur. But also this requires us to filter out all the intellectual junk, all the things that are useless. And some studies are finding that on average, many teenagers are spending almost 5 hours a day on social media. Now, many adults as well. If that is the case for you, that is an average, by the way, some are more and some are less. But if it is the case that you are spending this much time on social media, which usually is not that healthy, if you are doing that, then at least make sure not just to decrease to a reasonable amount so that you are more productive, إحرص على ما ينفعك, but the things you are consuming should be beneficial. Always aim in life. It's not just a matter of halal and haram, but always aim in life that even in times of leisure and entertainment that you want to take in something beneficial. You like to read, find yourself reading something also useful. You want to spend time, you know, with your family, try to do something beneficial. You want to watch something, don't watch something harmful. Watch something beneficial as well. So find something even in times of leisure entertainment, even in the downtime when you're relaxing, so that it is an act of worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while recognizing that our ummah is the ummah of Iqra, the ummah that is supposed to have the highest standards of knowledge in the world. The ummah that from year 750 to 1258 developed many of the sciences and many of the fields that in fact the entirety of the Western world is utilizing today and is indebted to the Muslim ummah for, as many academics have stated. Knowledge is power, knowledge is light, knowledge is awareness. And if every single one of us is equipped with beneficial knowledge in different areas and different topics, we are also able to benefit others in society. So the knowledge of why is Islam true? How do you know Islam is true? Giving da'wah, this is something that should not stop no matter what happens in the world. Knowledge of a certain situation, the real story, the real narrative, the real history of Palestine, what happened in 1948? Because there have been many attempts, and today there's clear propaganda and millions of dollars in funding to change the narrative, to change the story of what actually happened in 1948, to change it so that more people are considering this to be a very complicated issue. This is very complex. There's just two groups of people. No, 1948, there was an ethnic cleansing that was planned on March 10, 1948. This is known and this is documented. And so when you read these books and you see what is happening, we are more equipped to then benefit people, to impact people. And by changing the narratives, by changing the worldview around us, perhaps, as we've seen in the last 10 and 20 years, perhaps it will change what happens in the future. There are ripple effects we cannot see. And I would recommend on that note, the actual book called The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. For those who don't know it, I recommend this for those who are interested. But at the end of the day, when we talk about the intellectual, we talk about the emotional, we talk about the strength of Iman, these are three of many. At the end of the day, the objective here is the same. To utilize the different capacities and faculties you have to be strong in different areas of life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to have a strong body, strong mind. You want to have intellectual strength and emotional strength for the sake of Allah. That it is an act of worship. And it is all intertwined with Iman. It is intertwined with our purpose in life. And the believer who is looking to become stronger and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, remembers at the end of the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always with you. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. So seek help from Allah and seek forgiveness from Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. He's the all-forgiving, the ever-merciful. قُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us strength in all of our capacities, in all of its forms, and to make us an ummah of strength and an ummah that recognizes that it does have strength. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant strength to all of those who are suffering locally and globally. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a source of justice for our brothers and sisters in Gaza and Palestine and all around the world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for all of our shortcomings.